Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Is your internet keeping up? It's time to upgrade your home with Verizon Home Internet. With plans starting at just $25 a month and leave surprise price hikes and hidden fees behind. Get fast and reliable internet for an incredible price with Verizon. Ditch cable and switch to Verizon Home Internet. Starting at $25 a month with auto pay and select 5G mobile plans. Availability varies. Plans start at $25 a month when combined with existing select 5G mobile plans and auto pay and paper-free billing. Fios requires mobile and home discount enrollment. $99 Fios setup charge may apply. Visit Verizon.com/home to learn more about 5G home, LTE home, and Fios.
Welcome to the most dramatic and stunning Blackhawks Talk podcast. We're in the podcast studio powered by PointsBet with James Nouveau, Charlie Romeliotis. I am Pat Boyle. Blackhawks fans, rejoice. The hockey gods smiled upon you on Monday night. For the first time since 2007, the Blackhawks will have the first overall pick in the upcoming entry draft. Last time, they took Patrick Kane. Mm-hmm. That worked out all right. Mm-hmm. And now they'll have an opportunity to select Connor Bedard. Only, what, 11.8% chance to land that number one pick and a 70% chance of having the fourth or fifth selection. I am still stunned, and it's been an hour and 40 minutes or so since we heard Bill Daly and a little slip from Kevin Weeksy. Weeksy boy.
Honestly, though, thank you for that slip because it was preparing us for...
Yep.
It still has not sunk in. To be honest, and it was crazy how the draft unfolded, the lottery unfolded. It was like, it was chalk the whole way.
Chalk all the way up to four.
And once it got to five, that's when I'm like, okay, like you mentioned, the Blackhawks have they had a 70 or 69.5% chance of getting four or five, right? So once the five flipped to Montreal, it was like, okay, the four is where their most likely landing spot was going to be. And then when that's San Jose, even before Kevin Weeks had the little slip up, I'm like, well, they can't be number three because they had like a 6% chance of staying in three. So you knew that they were going to jump up to the top two. And the fact that Bill Daly flips over that card and it says the Chicago Blackhawks, I mean, that is, it's wild to process right now, but the impact that it's going to have immediately for this Blackhawks organization, both on and off the ice, is insurmountable.
Well, you just talked before we started the podcast. The first hour, Jamie Faulkner said that they have sold $1.9 million in tickets.
Yeah, like literally right before we were hopping on this podcast, Darren Revell had tweeted, in the first hour of getting the number one overall pick, Blackhawks team president Jamie Faulkner said the Blackhawks have sold 1.9 million in season tickets, and at this pace, a season ticket cap is anticipated. So it's like, I mean, they haven't even within the first hour, and so we're just talking about off the ice, but what it's going to mean for them on the ice too. I mean, I would not be surprised, guys, if the Blackhawks are like top three in attendance next year. As soon as next year, he immediately puts fans back
ratings,
in the stands.
Yeah. Ratings seemingly will go up.
I mean,
it'll be a draw. It'll be a draw in Canada as well, obviously, and you'll probably see the Blackhawks on national TV and in those Toronto Saturday night, hockey night in Canada windows that we were accustomed seeing.
That's a great point.
Because that country is going to want to see his talent on the biggest stage.
Right. Absolutely. I was in the back room with our producer, Claire, watching the NHL draft lottery, and we heard Weeks slip up, and we were like, oh my God, this could actually happen. Like, we literally spent, what, all week trying to talk ourselves into, you know, is it going to be Michkov? Will it be Smith? Like, we were basically all operating under the assumption, like, it'll be like 4 or 5. It's going
to
happen.
It felt too good to be true,
yeah.
You know?
Like, just letting yourself, especially when they slipped down to 3 in the order at the end of the season, everybody was like, well, there goes that. They played themselves out of the Bedard sweepstakes. Way to go, Luke Richardson. Like, you completely doomed yourself, but... here they are, number one pick in the draft. Utterly crazy.
I mean, I was prepared to talk about Will Smith and Michkov and all these other
Carlson.
But you know what? Let's talk about Connor Bedard.
Yeah,
why
let's
not?
Do it. Yeah.
We've been watching him now for months, and his talent is immense. Mm-hmm. His ability to undress defenders, his ability to make incredible passes, his shot is second to none.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only area you wonder is the size factor, and that's certainly a trait that the Hawks have valued under this new regime. But I mean, there's so much to like about this guy. What jumps off the screen when you watch him play?
Basically everything. Like, it seems like it's one of those things where he's just dominated every single level of hockey that he's played at, whether it's with Regina scoring 70 some odd goals for them in the WHL, any of the international tournaments he's played in, he's jumped off the screen instantly. There's just a certain je ne sais quoi about the way that this dude plays the game. He just, every single time he's on the ice, your eyes are glued to him. And I know 5'10", Adam Fantilli's this big hulking dude who's going to be a really good center in this league, but I don't care whether he projects out to be a center, he ends up at wing, whatever it is, he's one of the most dominant offensive players that we have seen available in the NHL draft in the last decade at least. And having the opportunity to take a guy like him, you said it perfectly, Charlie, that is a franchise altering selection when they make it. That just sends your expectations into the stratosphere.
Well, the hardest part about a full-scale rebuild is checking the box of the generational talent of the cornerstone, right? Like, you know, I think of some of the teams like the Buffalo Sabres. They always had really good pieces, but they never had the franchise cornerstone up until Jack Eichel arrived, and then they traded him because they didn't get the supporting cast around him, yeah, right. And, you know, even I think of the Detroit Red Wings. They've been rebuilding for 6 years. They never got, you know, a top two pick or that franchise changer. So
yeah, Dylan Larkin's a nice piece,
right,
but he's not McDavid.
He's not Bedard. He's not Austin Matthews. He's not on that level. So the Blackhawks.
And let's be honest, not every year are those players available.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah.
I you know, you look back to the Kirby Doc, you know.
I mean, even last year, like, honestly, like, I was talking to someone in the Blackhawks organization before the lottery happened, and they were pretty convinced that even if they fell to 4 or 5, there were up to 5 players that they would have taken first overall last year. And going into the year, that number was probably 3, right? Bedard, Fantilli, Michkov.
Yeah.
Leo Carlson probably played himself into that conversation. Will Smith probably played himself into that conversation. So, like, those 5 players probably would have gone first overall last year. So, like, the fact that those guys got pushed to, like, 4 or 5... I mean, so the Blackhawks it was the perfect year to get the number one overall pick because they checked that box. So as far as who the Blackhawks are getting in Bedard, he's essentially like Patrick Kane, where he's going to drive the line by himself. He's not going to be out there for a penalty kill or whatever, but he's going to be on the first power play. He's going to be that franchise altering player offensively, be an 100-point guy in the NHL. So it's just remarkable, like, what, how much this impacts the future of the organization. I don't think it impacts the timeline per se. Maybe it impacts a little bit as far as, okay, we got to make sure that there are a stronger supporting cast as soon as mm-hmm. next year. I think it does impact, though, the ceiling of the Blackhawks long term. Like, this feels like they have multiple, I don't want to say Stanley Cups, but Stanley Cup type seasons in them, as opposed to maybe just squeaking out one if you get, you know, a player that's, you know, in the 5 or 4 or 5 range.
You don't think that the idea of having Bedard would be enough to maybe entice additional free agents to come here and maybe accelerate it a little bit? Like, that was one of the first thoughts that I had about it.
Well, it could, but I guess my question too is how bad are the Blackhawks going to be next year? Like, are they going to be bad enough to get a top 3 pick again? Because let's just say they're in the sweepstakes for Cole Yzerman or Macklin Celebrini. So, well, then you got to pay that guy too, you know? So you got to make sure that there's room we've joked around about Austin Matthews, but like, you know, I think the Blackhawks definitely want to be cautious on how they use their money, because they're going to use like 20% of the cap or whatever the maximum limit is for Bedard. They're going to use that in like 5 years or four years, whatever.
And you already have Seth Jones.
Again,
on the
these are champagne problems. figuring out how to pay one of the great players in the game. You know, you wish you had to make that decision. And ultimately, the what needs to be figured out. And again, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. We're already fairly far ahead of ourselves right now.
Well, I mean, we're all delirious anyway. That makes total sense.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the key is you pay the guy that deserves it, and then you figure out which players are expendable, kind of like what Tampa has done, and how they go after the Hagels and things like that to, you know, they're cost-effective moves. But let's not worry
we'll save
about
that for a later.
Let's not worry about his contract and burning his entry level deal and how that's going to work out. I want to. The other part I want to talk about is the maturity level. You know, that is something that really has surprised me. And you know, he's been anointed the next one for 2 years now, two full years.
Yeah,
that everybody has compared him to the next McDavid, and you know, World Juniors are held in Canada, and you know, they get beat in that first game. And you know, I was like, just like the Leafs deal with the pressure, and these Canadian teams have dealt with the pressure that comes from being under that microscope in Canada. This kid, when the stage is the biggest and brightest, he takes his game to yet another level, like he did becoming the most outstanding player in that tournament. And afterwards, when they won gold and all the questions were directed towards Bedard about his future and what this means and what he said, we're not talking about me tonight. We're talking about that team that just won and this country that I love. And I was like, can I love you more? You know, so like, you know, while we do compare him to Patrick, you know, Patrick did have some growing up to do here in Chicago early on. Again, I'm not going to say that the soon to be 18-year-old in July has figured everything out, but the track record, what he's already been through as this self-appointed self, this already anointed next one, how he's handled that has really been impressive. And we've had 2 years kind of to see how he handles it. And it's been very, very mature.
It reminds me of the way LeBron James was when he was coming up in Akron, right? Everybody knew that 2003, this dude is going to be the number one pick in the draft. All of his high school games were completely sold out. Connor Bedard, every game Regina played, that rink was packed. His jersey was selling for, you know, thousands of dollars in charity auctions. Like, this dude has had that spotlight on him, has not bothered him a lick. And I know the NHL spotlight is always going to burn brighter in an environment like Chicago, the third biggest media market in the U.S., it's going to be very intense scrutiny, and it's in a very public rebuilding phase. Nothing has seemed to bother him, and I highly doubt this is going to be the thing seemingly that trips him up. And to your point, Charlie, if they're not really contending this next season, pressure's off of him at least a little bit in that regard. So it kind of gives him that opportunity to grow into his role as kind of the future savior of the team. But there's nothing in his makeup that suggests that that's going to intimidate him in any way.
Especially in today's day and age, I feel like a lot of guys that young would love the attention that you get, you know, at 17, right? He almost like doesn't want, he's like shying away from it. And he, to have that maturity and the, like, he's so humble at that age, which is remarkable. Like, that's the kind of guy that's going to, he's going to make the impact on the ice, but he's also a guy that you're going to look up to in the room. Like, man, look how calm this kid is and his demeanor. Like, that's the kind of captain type material that those, like, you can have the talent, but you know, we saw it like with Toronto when like John Tavares signed with the Maple Leafs, like they gave him the captaincy. Not that Austin Matthews didn't deserve it, but sometimes just guys aren't guys. It's hard to do both. It's hard to be the face of the franchise off the ice and also focus on your game on the ice. This guy feels like he can handle both areas.
And so it shouldn't surprise us that Sidney Crosby is his, you know, hockey idol, so to speak, because that's the way Sid has always carried himself. Okay, so, you know, we've got weeks now, 7 weeks plus, to talk about, you know, Connor Bedard and how it's going to impact the franchise. The only area that you don't just question and check the box is size. And when you watch the Stanley Cup playoffs, you do see how physical and how important it is to go to the dirty areas and able to handle. Now, he has the compete level to go there and take on that. But Adam Fantilli, if there's one area that he checks over Connor, it would be in size. The Hawks aren't going to overthink this, are they? I mean, we're not going to have, like, you know, when it was Derrick Rose and Michael Beasley, there was a conversation about who they should take at number one. And I remember Stacey King was on the Beasley side of the thing, and you know, but like, this is going to be Connor Bedard coming to Chicago. We're not going to, there's no overthinking this, right?
I mean, the temptation's been there the entire process, right? I mean, we were even talking about this, I think, in January. There were people saying, has Fantilli exceeded Connor Bedard?
I think it was December. It was before the World Juniors.
Even then, I was saying, you're overcomplicating this. Like, it felt like one of those situations where, yes, Fantilli has everything required to be a number one NHL center. I don't think there's any question about that. If, for whatever reason, the Blackhawks were like, yeah, we're going to draft Fantilli, it's like, he could still potentially be an elite NHL player. You're not going to be mad about that. But just, Connor Bedard's still on another level. Like, don't overcomplicate this thing.
Yeah.
He's the best player in the draft, has the highest ceiling, best prospect to come out since McDavid or Matthews, depending on whose argument you want to listen to. Just don't overcomplicate it, guys. Just take the best player. And that's what I say.
For sure. And I think the conversation stemmed not necessarily that Bedard shouldn't be the first pick. It's that, like, Bob McKenzie had his preseason rankings before the year, and he was like, there were scouts that told him, any other draft year, Fantilli's first overall. So it's almost like, you know, like, Bedard is just in such a tier of his own, but the next tier down is Fantilli, and that tier is so much higher than the previous first tiers, right? So I think that's where the conversation stemmed from. And then the World Juniors happened, and it was like, all right, no debate. This is going to be the easiest first overall pick since Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
You know, no need to overthink it.
You touched on it a little bit earlier, the impact on the timeline of the rebuild. I do think this accelerates it because, you know, just some of the things you've seen happen here in the last handful of hours, selling those tickets, like, there's going to be momentum in this fan base. You're going to have, you know, potentially they were prepared to pick fourth or fifth, a player that wouldn't be at the United Center on a regular basis for 2 years from now, or possibly three.
Yeah.
You know,
if you ended up taking Michkov.
Yeah. So, you know, you weren't even going to see that player for a while. Well, we're going to see this player next year. Yeah. Now, how many games, yet to be determined. But, you know, he needs to develop. You can't just put him out there with anybody. So you've got to think about what the supporting cast is on his line. You've got to think about a jam-packed United Center and, you know, I don't want to say rewarding the fans, but, like, it's not good. I don't think you're going to see what we saw this last year, where you've got a awesome player on a, you know, on a team that can't score. I mean, you are going to see that, but I guess I'm trying to figure out how you help develop him and give him the tools he needs and deserves, and still continue your game plan with this rebuild.
Right. I think if the Blackhawks fell to 4 or 5, next year would have been a season where it's like, we could really use another top three pick, you know? But now next season is like, honestly, we don't really care where we finish. Like, we got our generational talent in Bedard. Now it's about filling out the supporting cast, like you said, to put the Connor Bedard in the best position, and whichever other young player, like Lucas Reichel, is probably going to be a full-time NHL player next year, putting those guys in a position to succeed. And wherever the chips fall, you know, if they finish fifth worst in the standings, sixth worst, okay. Yeah. That's a bonus, you know? So it's, I think that's where it impacts it. It's not going to, you know, is the trade deadline, are they going to fire sale? Probably, like, if they have those, if they can get values for those picks, but I don't think the goal next year is going to be, we got to give ourselves the best chance of getting Macklin Celebrini or Cole Eisen, whatever, right? It's going to be, let's fill out our supporting cast, and whatever happens in our draft standings, so be it.
And I also do have to caution everybody, it's not like this year's free agent class is chock full of guys who are going to be able to come in and play first line wing minutes with Bedard, right? I don't think that's going to happen. There isn't that guy out there. So I think the Blackhawks are going to have to blend a guy that's in the system now. Maybe you have him start out with a Reichel. I mean, that could be an interesting bit of chemistry. Maybe you bring back a guy like Athanasiou, just to have his speed take a little bit of impact off of Bedard. I just think it's hilarious that we were talking to Corey Pronman and we kind of openly discussed this idea of having Adam Fantilli go back to Michigan instead of starting right away. That conversation is completely gone now, and we're literally just talking about the one guy who is like a guarantee to be on the UC ice for that first home game this fall.
All right, we got the opportunity. It was pretty cool. 5 minutes after he finds out that he's got the number one pick overall, Kyle Davidson joined us on our post-game show on the draft lottery. What was your takeaway from the conversation with the Hawks GM, besides he was like all of us stunned?
Feels like he was mentally preparing that, like he even said it. He was like, in my mind, we were going to pick fourth because that was our highest odds. And then to the fact that he kind of like blacked out when they got first. I mean, for him, I don't know if rewarding is the right word, but probably a little bit of relief knowing that, like, the goal was to try to get a top three pick this year. Obviously, the goal was Bedard, right, going into the year, but it was more so like we got to land a top three pick because those are where the franchise changers are. So for it to kind of come to fruition, it puts it into perspective, but also like all the fans that were so mad about the Blackhawks beating the Penguins or the like all of that
conflicted.
Is just
conflicted. Not necessarily that's mad, but you were conflicted.
That's a great point. Yeah. You don't want to openly root against your team winning, but it was,
you were thinking big picture, like exactly. Most people were at that point.
So it, I'm sure it's rewarding or it's relieving for Kyle Davidson to not have to, you know, if they fell to 4 or 5, he doesn't have to answer these questions about,
James, he did it the right way. Like, yeah, I cannot fault how hockey ops handled the construction of that team, who they put out there. If anything, they identified quality players that played above their expectation.
And also hired a coaching staff that was able to get that out of those players and establish the culture that this team is going to need moving forward. I mean, it would have been so easy for them to pack it in after Patrick Kane got traded or Max Domi got traded. Just go on a 13-game losing streak like the Anaheim Ducks did. They didn't do that whatsoever. They were competing until the very end of the season. And I think the fact that they were able to do that and kind of establish that as like a baseline of an effort level while getting Connor Bedard, you saw the smile on Kyle Davidson's face, and that's exactly why, because I think he likes what they're building here, and this is merely going to be, like Charlie said, you need that elite piece to kind of build around. He says he's going to do that, but having that elite piece in place is just so important.
We also asked Kyle, with the current situation in the first round, they've got now the first overall pick, they'll have around 20, depending on how the playoffs.
It's probably going to be 19.
It's 19. Looking like
Florida's up 3-0 on
Toronto. That's
true. Toronto,
so it'll be 19. They've got a ton of draft capital, and they can also, because of their advantageous cap situation, take on money from other teams that want to get some cap relief. And maybe have players that are underperforming their cap level, and they can do some moving in this first round. When asked them directly, could we see you move up from 19 if there's someone you desire at 11, mm-hmm. or could you package one or more of those 4 second round picks and move into the bottom of the first round and have a third first round pick. A lot of options. And he said, that's basically what we have now, even more options.
Right. I think the interesting thing about this is the Blackhawks were probably preparing to either pick 4 or 5, right? Now that they know that they're getting Connor Bedard, what happens if the draft board is shaking out? Like they get to 5, they get to 6, they get to 7. Then there's like a run of defensemen, right? And then you're like, man, some of the players that we were eyeing at 5 are now available at 9, 10, 11. Because, and we rarely see trades in the NHL, but let's just say hypothetically the Blackhawks are going to pick 19 or 20, whatever. I think where we could see a scenario is if it gets to 15 or 16, maybe the Blackhawks go up and get their guy, right? And the team, they can give up one of their second round picks to chase 3 more picks. I don't think it would be any higher because it's such a lottery. It's such a crapshoot in the NHL draft, but that's an opportunity where I could see the Blackhawks potentially.
How about this?
Yeah.
How about Michkov continues to drop because teams are leery that he's under contract to 2026 or haven't got assurance that, the political climate will be in a positive area where he could come over if he wants to. What if it's like 6th or so and the Hawks are sitting there going, all right, we've identified him as the second best player in this entire draft next to Bedard.
Mm-hmm.
We have a generational player. We have talked behind the scenes and have some assurance and whatnot. Why not take that risk with multiple first rounds? You've already got your home run, seemingly. This one is only a delayed time coming.
Yeah.
And maybe that also works into your financial situation with how you're going to handle Bedard's contract when it's up and how you would handle Michkov's contract when it is up. Would you ever entertain the thought of, again, we would have to fall further than 5 or 6. It would have to start, creeping to like 7-ish or something like that, where they go, we're at 19. We can take 2 second round picks, or we can take on that bad contract with a second round pick and we can move up and get the second best player in this draft. And yes, it's a risk, but now we might have 2 elite players.
It sounds great on paper.
Yeah.
I think the challenge would be what would be the highest pick that team is acquiring. Because if, let's just say, Michkov falls to 7, I don't know if the team, like if the Blackhawks
they're not going to want to
go all the way to 19.
Yeah,
so right, you would almost have to give up, like your first round pick next year.
That's exactly what I was concerned about.
But I don't know if the Blackhawks would want to do that. So,
especially if it's Michkov, there's no way because you're
would you give up Tampa's next year?
Well, yeah, I just don't know.
I don't know if that's good enough.
Because it's top 10
team.
Lottery protected,
yep.
Right? So,
yeah.
I
think that would be my stumbling block. I think that the scenario of them moving into like just after those lottery picks, like at 16, 17, I think that range, you can probably move up 3 or 4 spots kind of in that area. I think you have the assets to do it. I don't see a team willing to part with a top 10 pick for what the Blackhawks would be able to offer them. I think there is a possibility they could potentially package picks this year to maybe get into higher areas of the draft for next year too. You said it perfectly on multiple podcasts, Charlie, that they're going to eventually have to play these guys and get them, or pay these guys, I should say, and get them into this system. Why not like kind of spread the wealth out a little bit in terms of draft picks? They have 8 picks in the first 3 rounds this year. That is so many draft picks. And no, they're not all going to get here at the same time, but you want that pipeline to continue producing talent. And so I think that they may look at next year's draft too and say, maybe we'll try to move up a little bit there. I think that, or moving into that kind of 13 to 17 range, probably the realistic ones. But I mean, heck, if there's a night for pipe dreams and big thoughts, why not today?
Huddle up because it's time to feel the power with PointsBet. PointsBet is giving bettors 60 days of bonus bets now through the end of May as part of the PointsBet Power Hour. Check the app every day for when your bonus bet is dropping and use it on a same game parlay. Download the PointsBet app today using the code SHYTALK. SHYTALK 10, that is, and unleash the power of winning. PointsBet, your move. So one thing heading into the draft lottery, as I was going through my timeline, and I follow a lot of national writers and beat reporters across the NHL, and you know, everybody was giving their kind of their little two cents on what they thought may go down, you know, and who they would like to see, you know, what team really deserves it, where would Bedard flourish. And there was a lot of Blackhawks angst and Chicago hate and dislike on my timeline, and I think many of you saw it as well. Now that it has happened and they have landed Bedard, I'm getting more of that. I'm getting some texts from some jealous NHL fans in other cities, buddies of mine. But I'm also, you know, seeing it on social media about, you know, like, oh, man, you know. Is that just something that, you know, the Hawks are going to, you know, get you have to get used to just being the one that not everybody's in love with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Honestly, like I was mentioning to Claire when we were talking about this, maybe they just lean into the villain role. Like, I don't want to, you know, undersell what some of the complaints have been about in terms of, you know, why the Blackhawks maybe shouldn't be in this position. But if it's just purely based on, oh, the Blackhawks just came off a dynasty and they're, you know, Kane and Taves are gone and now the NHL's like, let's give them another star. If it's based on that, you might as well lean into that, right? I think lean into the villainy a little bit. I think the Blackhawks will do that. I mean, we can have discussions if you guys want about whether the lottery is the fairest way to do this. But at
today
the end of the day,
I say it is.
Yeah, just lean into it, man.
For the last few months, I didn't think it was. But
why should the third worst team have, you know, better odds of getting a fourth or a fifth pick? Like, this is ridiculous.
The Pittsburgh Penguins went from Mario and Yager to Crosby and Malkin.
Yeah,
like, I mean, it happens. I think where the vitriol happens more so is like if you're a team like Philly, or if you're a team like Detroit, and you haven't gotten that lottery win, and the Blackhawks get Patrick Kane and Connor Bedard within, you know, 15 years of each other. I think that's
you make
where
it sound
like
such
man.
A short amount of time. Like Edmonton Oilers had like how many four number one picks or whatever in like a 7 year span.
That's
like,
why they changed the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say if this was the case, I'd be totally like listening to this argument, but.
Well, they updated the newest lottery odds because Detroit, like they remember that one year they had 39 points.
Naturally,
the next
Detroit complains about something and they get something. They complained about all those East or the West Coast start times. They got moved to the Eastern Conference. Typical Detroit.
We asked Kyle Davidson his good luck charm, and he told us that he had Willa's ultrasound in his breast pocket of his jacket.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So maybe Detroit needs better good luck charms.
Also, we have a
work hard.
Yeah, one of our coworkers, Reese Johnson, funny enough, was wearing his lucky Blackhawks t-shirt that he wore when the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup in 2015. So I asked Reese Johnson earlier if he would
not the player. Coworker.
Yeah, not our coworker Reese Johnson if he's going to pass around that t-shirt now to the city of Chicago. So now he's got to wear that every time. Big playoff game.
Did you? I'm assuming you
already got us in the playoffs, Charlie.
No, 4 years from now.
I don't know if you guys saw my tweet before the draft lottery started. Claire and I did one last tankathon run. My very last one, Blackhawks at number one.
I had I did one with you.
Five.
And it was five.
Yep.
That was status quo for me.
Claire, do you remember
last
who dropped out of their spot in my draft?
Was it St. Louis?
It was Columbus.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow, look at that. Oh yeah, duh.
You were Kevin Weeks before Kevin Weeks.
I was given the formula, y'all. The only thing that didn't happen was Arizona didn't jump up.
I noticed you take a lot of credit for things that are going on.
Oh, I eat so much crow on so many things, dude. You know this. Like if I say something and it's completely off base and ends up being bad, I am willing to own it. I I just said my tankathon thing was the Blackhawks number one.
Hey, one last thing I'll say about Connor Bedard. I forgot to mention this when we were talking about his size. So he's 5'9". Patrick Kane was what, 5'10" when he got drafted?
In that,
I think he was like probably under that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely probably under that, right? I think he was like 160, like 165. Yeah. Connor Bedard is 185. Have you ever seen his legs? Like they're like mini tree trunks.
They're like Duncan Keith legs.
Yes, or like Sidney Crosby, yeah. Like mini Sidney Crosby legs. Like he's like a tank for that size. So like I'm not worried about his size from that regard.
I did want to mention one other thing with this since we're on the Bedard and Fantilli kind of thing here. Just keep this in mind. Would you rather take Connor Bedard at wing or Adam Fantilli at center? I still take Connor Bedard at wing, and I think that tells you everything you need to know about whether you should take him or not.
Well, here's what I think could happen. I think Bedard will slot in as center, but he won't take the draws. Like Connor McDavid does that occasionally. Like Leon Draisaitl is taking the when they play on a line together. But it's like because McDavid can come down low and he can come with speed. But if the Blackhawks move Bedard to wing, like he's going to be just as effective. Like he's essentially going to be playing center anyway, just like Patrick Kane does or did with
the Blackhawks. We just keep saying, don't overthink it, guys. They'll make it work.
Can't believe how lucky the Blackhawks are.
I know, man.
It honestly is not processed.
Nope. It is. Nope. I was so not prepared for this podcast or what has transpired tonight.
I was so convinced they were going
yep.
4 or 5.
Yep, me too.
Like I didn't even.
So was Kyle Davidson and the Hawks.
And I thought best case scenario was going to be they go to 2. Like that was.
And I honestly, if you believed what you heard Kevin Weeks say about Columbus dropping to 3 before that commercial, you're like, all right, well, I'll take 2. The Fantilli's not a bad consolation prize.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and now you get, you know, the second coming of Connor McDavid.
I cannot wait for the first pregame live of the season when Pat Boyle comes on your TV smiling and talking about number 98 for the Blackhawks.
Well, you're going to see him in Nashville beforehand because we're going to blow out the budget coverage on that because there's a lot of excitement. And again, we talked about the ticket sales. It's, you know, with what has gone on here in the last few years, I know we're a little partial here. I know the rest of the league doesn't probably look at it the same way, but it's nice that after it's been a rough run, it's not been easy to watch this team, and you had a lot of head scratching times, and now you've got really a bright beacon here with Connor Bedard on the way to Chicago.
Yeah, and I think more so too for the fans, like they're even the casual fan, the interest for to watch the Blackhawks has skyrocketed. Like before Monday, the lottery night, when we interviewed Corey Prodman for our podcast, like our numbers for that podcast was like one of the best we've done.
Yeah.
Like all season, right? And it's because fans are like, all right, we want to look ahead to the future. So now the future's here.
We get it 4 or 5.
Yeah. So
surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
Plot twist.
Yeah. So it just, you know, yeah, it's great. It's great for us too, because it helps, you know, but it's also like for the fans, we can now deliver for them in a way that we, you know, it's been tough to deliver for them in.
It's been a really rough couple of weeks since the Blackhawks had a superstar player. It was really a challenging time for all of us.
Well, look, you know, even when the Hawks were down, you know, you always could say, I'm going to watch 88. Yep. 88 can always do something. And now we're gonna say that we get to watch Connor.
Right.
And we get to watch him do his special stuff. And so while a team may continue its journey in rebuild, again, we were very, very lucky to have a bunch of Hall of Famers play in this town over the last several years. It looks really promising that we've got another on the way.
Yeah, and that's the difference, too, between Bedard and Fantilli, maybe. Like, Fantilli, like, what did Corey say on the last podcast? Like, if you're looking for a prototypical number one pick, like, Fantilli's it. Like, checks so many boxes. The one difference is that Bedard is, I mean, he could do something special every single night with, you know, like, holy cow, did you see that highlight? You know, Fantilli could, too. Like, he's done lacrosse mood, right? Yeah. But not to the same degree of Bedard. And so that's where it's like, even if the Blackhawks are bad next year, it's going to be entertaining to watch because Bedard could do something special on any shift, really. So,
think we figured out who the next captain of the Chicago Blackhawks is going to be.
But not as soon as next year.
I was going to say. Well,
that's why I think they'll go without go sans captain next year.
Like they do
year.
With Taves.
Well, yeah. It's definitely been a trend in the NHL to go sans captain unless you have a guy like that. So
you sans captain next year.
Yep.
Captaincy by committee. And again, it's like Seth Jones talked about. It's players like Connor Murphy and himself picking up those responsibilities or more of those responsibilities. Let Connor ease in first year and then... At Blackhawks Convention 2024,
there you go.
You name him captain of the Chicago Blackhawks.
By the way, I do feel happy for Seth Jones. Like, he's probably like, man,
yes,
that's awesome.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. That is real. And think about it, too, because last year, if the Blackhawks would have gotten a top three pick, they wouldn't have had a first-round pick this year, no. Right? It would have gone to...
I thought it was top two.
Whatever it is. It would have gone to Columbus.
It would have been...
They would have picked last year, and Columbus would have had this pick. So anyway.
Whoopsie.
We have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about, yep. And it's exciting. So continue to subscribe to the Blackhawks Talk podcast. Again, Charlie will have great coverage, James as well. And we will be with you every step of the way between now and the draft on June 28th and 29th, 28th. Wednesday yep. and yep. Thursday in the Hockey Tonk, Nashville, Tennessee.
Yep.
Thanks for watching the most dramatic Blackhawks Talk podcast ever. For Charlie, for James, for Claire, I'm Pat. So long, everybody. Welcome to Connor Bedardville.
Yes.